on the big free FM, CBS FM. And my guest today, filling the Michael Goudeau seat. Mike Goudeau was down in Florida seeing a space launch, which he saw successfully. He saw it take. I don't know from where yet. He's probably in the you know, with the proletariat, which is, you know, where he should be. He probably wasn't in the big VIP section that that some other people get to be in. He was probably back a little further. But he saw them light that rocket. He saw it go up. I believe. Haven't heard a report back, because when Goudeau is not being paid to sit across from me, he does not talk to me at all. But sitting in his stead is Mac King.
Hey, I'm not getting paid either.
I know. You can leave anytime you want. You're free. It's like on Law and Order. They tell you that the guy can leave, but the perpetrator doesn't.
Oh.
He just wants to sit in there and chat. So if you want to stay here, you can go. But you're free. You're free to go if you like.
Free FM.
Yeah, free FM. Just walk out whenever you want. And yesterday I didn't have anybody in that seat. I did a rather sedate and sad show for...
What happened?
Well, it was 9/11 yesterday. So on the fifth year anniversary of 9/11, I did a little bit a little bit more sedate. I just didn't feel like it was a time to really to yuck it up on that day. So I was a little more sedate.
What day of the week was yesterday?
What day of the week? It was 9/11. It was was a Monday. Which means today is Monkey Tuesday! And the music comes in. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, yeah. Let that go. Oh, that's beautiful. It's Monkey Tuesday. Let's wash away all the sadness that's come before.
Oh.
Yeah, you can sing the next one if you like.
I didn't know whether that was allowed.
It's allowed. Sure, it's allowed. Right. Almost anything is allowed on Monkey Tuesday. And, you know, we're going to tell monkey stories. Call in if you've got a good monkey story. We have plenty of stories of monkeys pleasuring themselves. And we have plenty of stories of them hurling excrement. We have plenty of them. And not only...
How much is plenty, really?
Well, but you, for me personally, I could never have enough of those stories. There's no way I could have enough of those stories. But for CBS, they feel they've hit their maximum with the FCC. So they have enough of those kind of stories. So what we usually try to center on, which turns out to be funnier than the sexual or the scatological, is just the grotesquely violent and cruel. We have a lot of great stories of cruelty to monkeys and cruelty of monkeys to people. And those seem to just hold up really well.
Is there monkey on monkey violence too?
There has been monkey on monkey violence. which is really, really hot in the South. That's one of the porno films. Hot monkey on monkey action. While we're waiting for people to call, I'm going to give the phone number, because that'll help some people for calling. Although a lot of the people that plan on monkey calling, they have, you know, by last Thursday, they have the number on their speed calling. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. 866-570-PEN. 7366 if you don't have letters on your phone. Or you can write to penradio@gmail.com. Usually when you write to penradio, penradio@gmail.com, you're writing to Michael Goudeau. But now you'll be writing to Happy Jack, and he will weed through yours. And if yours happens to be the weed he picks, he will send it to me, and it might be read here. penradio.com. So it's 866-570-PEN. Few calls are coming in. We have a little bit more time to chat. I want to say happy birthday to Kelly in Houston. It's that time of year again. Time to celebrate the birthday of the Houston Zoo's most mischievous redhead. Kelly the orangutan is turning 26. Did we mention that her favorite treats are grapes and homemade popsicles? She's a great mom, too. Join us from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, September 9th. Okay, so it's a little late. At the Houston Zoo for the grand celebration. You won't want to miss the fun. There'll be plenty to see and enjoy as Kelly opens her gifts and eats her birthday cake. Sign Kelly's giant birthday card, the orangutan exhibit. The first 500 guests receive a special orangutan bookmark. Has anybody ever been happy about receiving a bookmark? Isn't a bookmark the lamest? I mean, that when you give $20,000 to PBS, they send you a bookmark.
Really?
Yeah, that's about what it is. It's also a very special Monkey Tuesday. because Matt King has brought in some swag. I guess it's not swag. This
costs money.
This costs money, yeah. And Matt King, you have how was your Magic in a Minute thing doing?
Pretty good. I mean, the comic strip just got in the Chicago Tribune,
yeah,
which is good. And
yeah,
then these toys, there are 11 of them, 11 different ones.
This is the one I'm holding now, is a cell phone, and each trick is monkey tested and monkey approved. And this is a magic trick that you, what do they, predict a card or something?
Actually, on this particular one that you're holding in your hand, the cell phone, the ESP, the extrasensory phone.
I get it.
Yeah, see?
I was so sure that was ESF. Go ahead. So sure it was ESF. Well, go ahead.
There's actually the voice of Penn Jillette is on this phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah,
they're
doing that.
There are like five different phone messages. So,
and what do they say? What's the punchline?
A couple of them are playing cards. A couple of them are...
You said a couple and then you held three fingers.
I think there are three of them that are playing cards.
Okay. We're not on TV, so they can't see those kind of subtle
confusions. There are three of them that are playing cards, and then a number that you force, and then an animal that you force.
if you're talking about forcing an animal, you're talking about good, clean fun for the whole family.
And a monkey voice on there, too.
Oh, really? Who does the monkey voice?
Max Maven.
For those of you who don't know, Max Maven is a mentalist. He's a mind reader. He's the thief of thoughts, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. He's the thief of thoughts.
He has a haircut with a very pronounced widow's peak and a very magic-like facial hair.
Right. Yeah.
That's Max Maven. He's the voice of the monkey. He does a funny monkey voice?
Very proper.
Does this come with batteries?
Yeah, it's all
set up. So if I play it at
1004. All right, so that's on.
Yeah, and then you don't have this memorized?
No, you got to dial a certain number to get...
each different person, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so...
Let's hear the monkey.
You want to hear the monkey?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Okay, we'll get to that in a while.
Well, all right, I got it right here.
Okay, here we go.
264.
264.
8823.
8823. It's ringing.
Hello, this is Louis the Monkey. I cannot be bothered with your call, but there are no gray elephants in Denmark.
And that's a fine job on that. Yeah. What number am I? I just want to know what number.
You are 868.
Okay. 868. Yeah, that's really nice. It makes me feel really great.
Oh, you turned it off.
Okay. Made me feel really, really great. Oh, this is the gag, right? Somebody puts
funny,
you up
right?
to this.
Pretty funny, right?
Pretty funny, right? Give me the number again.
Did it turn on?
Give me the number again.
868.
8-6. Hey, now it's ringing.
Hi, this is Penn of Penn and Teller, and hey, you picked the Three of Clubs.
There you go. Beautiful. Yeah. And that's you can pick this up at any...
Toys R Us.
Oh, okay. I was going to say any crack dealer, but Toys R Us
crack dealer
has Magic in a Minute by Matt King, and you can get this little phone that has these little answers. And there's also DVDs in these things.
Yeah,
right?
They're
all are they all monkey themed? Because in your cartoon you have a monkey.
Yes, yeah,
exactly right.
Monkey tested, monkey approved.
I also want to say
thanks for plugging that.
This is something else you can call in with 866-570-PEN-7366. Steve Irwin was killed by a stingray, and that nothing. Funny about that. You might have noticed a little crack in my voice. Nothing funny about a man dying by a stingray. But what is funny is they have found 10 stingrays washed up on the shore that people have killed.
I guess sound like burning stingrays.
I guess people have killed them in retaliation. Although it's not the actual stingray that killed Steve Irwin that they've killed.
Do you know that?
I know that for a fact because the actual stingray is in a cave in Afghanistan. But they just believe that any stingray is now dead. Just cluster bomb the stingrays. Let's take a phone call. I just want to talk. I'm picking one at random here. Let's talk to Ralph. How you doing, Ralph?
Good, Penn. How you doing?
Never better, boss. Never better. What's up in the monkey world, sir?
Good, dear. Another Jersey Six Flags Great Adventure Monkey Tuesday story for you.
I hit the wrong button. I want to apologize to you there, Ralph. You got a stingray splash instead of the proper theme. So please, there'll be a written apology in the Times tomorrow. But you've got a great adventure, which is where I used to work. But now Six Flags over Jersey or something. Six Flags over Trenton.
Six Flags, yeah.
And you got a monkey story. Lay it on us, sir.
A couple of years back, go with a couple of my friends. My friend Pam's in the back seat screaming. She wants to go through the monkeys. And
she meant by that she wanted to go through the drive. It wasn't a euphemism. Okay,
drive through back when I think you still could go. You could still go through the monkey area.
Yeah.
But we went through, but against my better judgment, and we did. And the monkeys, they weren't bothering us. And in front of us was a brand new Mercedes-Benz SUV.
Yeah.
So a monkey jumped on it and did what he had to do, and
sure.
We were laughing at that.
Of course you were.
And while we were laughing at that, we didn't realize that a little baby monkey jumped on the back seat, the back of my Plymouth Acclaim.
Uh-huh.
And just whacking around in the back, and he grabs my weather stripping.
Oh, yeah.
And he starts pulling at it. And my friend Pam is hitting on the window and trying to get the monkey off, and he won't. So the Mercedes-Benz is well ahead of us, and my friend Sean just looks at me and goes, "Gun it." And I go, "Okay." I hit the gas. The monkey's holding for dear life onto the weather stripping, and eventually it falls off.
And it was still holding the weather stripping?
No, the weather stripping was completely gone. It landed on the ground with the weather stripping in the sand, waving its fist at me.
Curse you.
Damn you. Well, that's a perfect monkey story. It has all the things we require. It has a veiled reference to excrement, and it has a Mercedes-Benz being hurt, so bringing them down a notch, and it has a monkey being injured, and it has Pam in the back seat, who surprisingly comes into many, many of these monkey stories. So thank you so much, Ralph. She gets around.
Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot, man. And I want to take another one. Do you have any monkey stories? You had some. You had some printed out.
I got a couple of monkey stories.
Sure. What do you got here?
This is on the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration website.
You know, I have some. I have some feelings about TSA.
I thought you did. Yeah, I'm
totally against them. You know, I say live free or die. But go ahead. If you're going to have TSA, they must have a position on monkeys.
Well, they do have positions on monkeys as service animals. So what? You know, like a dog,
like a guide dog.
Yeah, like a guide dog, like a service dog.
What other, I mean, what they say, service animals. How many different kinds are there? There are dogs and monkeys, right? Service
dogs,
hippopotamuses.
I don't see that on the website here at all. No, there's a map of the site, and I do not see hippopotamus helpers.
My service elephant. A lot of service sheeps, but
they call them service dogs. But they don't call them service monkeys.
They don't. They call them service animals.
They're service dogs. The two subchapters under service animals are service dogs and monkey helpers.
Monkey helpers, which is mostly just kind of a soy product that you mix in when you're cooking up your monkey.
Right.
With a little tomato sauce. And you get like a monkey and a half out of it. You know, every pound of monkey, you get a pound and a half of monkey helper. Go ahead. So if you're going through with your monkey helper,
yes.
And what do monkeys help? Do they help people that are quadriplegics, or is it people who are blind, or which is?
I don't think so, because the handler, mm-hmm. as opposed to the screener. The screener is the guy who works for the TSA.
Right.
The handler is the guy who's with the monkey.
And a handler wouldn't be a quadriplegic.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, just by definition, kind
right,
of.
Yeah. Yeah. So the TSOs have been trained to not touch the monkey during the screening process.
Well, that seems like something within the range of a TSA,
yeah.
to not touch a monkey. That's what, like 4 days of training?
Yeah.
Sir, in the back there, Davis, what are you supposed to do? Not touch a monkey. Good. We'll go to the next one then. Good.
Yes. Don't touch the monkey.
Well, if you touch the monkey too much, you do go blind. That's proven. Go on.
Yeah. Since monkeys may likely draw attention.
We know that. On Monkey Tuesday, we know that.
The handler will be escorted to the physical inspection area where a table is available for the monkey to sit on.
Yeah.
Only the handler will touch or interact with the monkey.
Only the handler.
Yeah.
TSA does not interact with a monkey. Too bad we couldn't just convince them that that we are all monkeys. Isn't that right?
Yeah, the monkey must be controlled by the handler throughout the screening process.
Sure.
And the monkey handler shall carry the monkey through the WTMV.
Does it say shall, really?
Yeah. Okay. No, it doesn't. It says okay. Should. The monkey handler should carry the monkey through the WTMD, which I guess is the...
Weapon of mass something.
Yes. So it is. Wait till the monkey does it. Through the WTMD while the monkey remains on a leash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the... inspection process may require that the handler take off the monkey's diaper as part of the inspection.
Oh, yeah.
So what are they looking for?
I don't know. Is it a visual inspection?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, he's not allowed to touch him.
So you're not being feeling around in the monkey's diaper. So TSA has thought of everything, every single thing you could think of, except for the fact that the only way two liquids mix and blow up a plane is, you know, in Die Hard 3. Let's see what we got here. I'm just going to go for Brad. How you doing, Brad? What's up, man?
Hey, Penn. Glad to hear you. I like your show.
Thank you so much.
In fact, I particularly like the way you and the amazing Randy and other people debunk the frauders around the earth. I really admire that about you.
Thank you so much, Brad.
I have a monkey story.
Well, lay it on us, sir.
Okay, I have a friend, Jesse. He's got a Labrador Retriever, big dog, about 60 pounds. He's got a 10-pound rhesus monkey, and he's got a cat, about 10 pounds, too.
Okay.
And the dog and the cat are wonderful pets, but this monkey is like the meanest, cruelest thing you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it hovers above doorways and will try to poke you in the eye as you walk through the doorway.
It's a floating monkey.
Yes. The worst thing it used to do is grab the Labrador by the tail and climb the curtains and hold this 60-pound dog off the ground.
Oh.
And everybody hated this monkey. Nobody would go to his house. But I noticed...
How could you hate a monkey that can do that?
Well,
that's
I noticed...
superpower. This monkey could be used as a crime fighter. He could hover in doorways and poke people in the eyes. Mo Howard couldn't do that. Moses Horowitz could not.
It would be a super villain, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I noticed one time going over there. In fact, I noticed a lot of times that the monkey would never mess with the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally asked Jesse, how come this monkey tortures everyone that comes in your house and never touches that cat? And Jesse told me this story. He says, I came home one day right after we bought the monkey, and the monkey would torture the cat same as everybody else. But when I came home, I noticed the cat sitting on the TV, and it had these big gashes on its shoulder. So I raced to take the cat to the vet, but I noticed I couldn't find the monkey at all. He looked around the house and literally followed a trail of fur and blood to the bedroom and found the
monkey. How many times have I done that? How many times have I done that? But go ahead.
He found the monkey wedged into the springs of the mattress. He actually had to get a pliers to cut the monkey out. And the monkey was a matted mess of blood. In fact, one of the wounds on the monkey, he showed me the scar on the monkey. It had a scar across his forehead where you could literally pull back his scalp like a bad toupee.
And it said Felix.
And what he surmised is the cat finally said, enough's enough. We're going to have it out. And he
So wait. We didn't get this before. It's a talking cat?
No. No.
Because that's, you know, even though it's Monkey Tuesday, we would make an exception for talking cats. That would
no,
be
he
great.
Surmised this out of his powers of deduction.
Oh, I see.
That finally the cat had just had enough.
I see.
And just tore that monkey a new one, and he had to take them both to the hospital. And the monkey again would grimace at the cat and then leave the room as the cat would come into the room. And I started carrying the cat. Every time I go to his house, I carry the cat around when I'm petting the cat. And that's my Monkey Tuesday story.
And that's a fine story. We'll be back with more Monkey Tuesday right after this. The cat is a shield. That was Matt King. guest vocal on the Monkey Tuesday.
I forgot
theme.
I was going to do that until you pointed at me.
Yeah, well, that's the one that's ready. You can do that kind of cueing thing. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. It's the Tuesday of Monkeys. You can write to penradio@gmail.com. Penradio.com is where we are. We're talking monkeys. That's what we do very often on Tuesday. Let's talk to Magic Al. How you doing, Magic Al? This is Magic Pen and Magic Mac.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Al.
Never better, boss.
Good.
It's Magic Al.
Oh, Magic Al. Hey, Magic Al.
Hey, Mac. Good to see you,
it's
man.
Magic Mac, actually.
Okay, my friend. So I got a very interesting monkey story at a bar mitzvah.
Oh, good, good. Do things we like to laugh at.
Yeah, okay. So this is goes back several years when I think you could still have monkeys at parties.
Back when Pluto was a planet and you could have monkeys at parties. Yeah, the good old days.
Yes. And so I'm hired at a bar mitzvah to do a magic show on like a stage in front of about 200 guests.
Now, what kind of magic show do you do?
You know, comedy, magic show, kids and adults.
What kind of tricks? We know magic. What kind of tricks do you do? What tricks do you do?
Yeah. Oh, I do the amazing Axtell magic drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, you know, sponge balls and, you know.
With the bunnies? You do the bunny blow off of the sponge balls?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes in close-up, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, dove pan and you name it. Actually did my own off-Broadway show for kids and made a DVD out of it, which Mac owns.
I own that. This is that Magic Al.
Yeah, Mac, have you watched it yet?
I own it.
Do you like it?
I have yet to see it.
Okay.
I'm saving it for my daughter.
Okay, good.
We'll watch it together.
Okay, so you have to do this. So you can't. Have you seen Magic Al perform?
No, but I've seen pictures. Now I know, at least I can put a picture with
his
face.
Well, you tell me what he looks like here.
He's got a top hat.
A top hat. That's all you need to know. Okay, so Magic Al's got a top hat. He's at a bar mitzvah. 200 adults and children.
The picture has a top hat. Do you perform in the top hat, Magic Al?
That's all I perform in, just a top hat.
He's sweet. He's nude except for a top hat. And the kiddies love
and a
that.
Smile.
The kids love that, boy. They That's love right. to see Magic Al with his wand ablazing.
So I'm on a stage, and the band leader introduces me. Says, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in honor of Benjamin's bar mitzvah, presenting Magic Al.
Good
and I open my mouth. And all of a sudden, a chimpanzee comes roller skating into the room. I barely get the first two words out of my mouth, and people, of course, start to react and scream. And this roller skating chimpanzee goes right in front of me around the dance floor, and I'm just standing there. I don't know what to say, what to do. And he proceeds to do a whole bunch of you know, waving at the audience. All of a sudden, this guy walks in with magic tricks, and the monkey starts doing a magic show.
Oh, jeez. We've been so frightened of this, those of us in the magic industry. This is the terror. This is where it starts. We're out of work, Mac. They've taught monkeys to do magic tricks. No more will you perform at Harrah's. No more will we be at the Rio. It'll be monkeys. Damn it. Damn,
yeah.
The world is a better place.
You think so? Yeah. Yeah. We'll be unemployed, but the world will be better. So the monkey is doing magic on roller skates, which means he's really three up to you, right?
One, yeah, absolutely.
He's a monkey, so he beats you there. Two, he's on roller skates, and I didn't have a third one. Go ahead.
He's a multitasking magic monkey.
Well, yes, he is.
And so I'm standing there watching him do these tricks, and I'm going...
Even you're watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say. I mean, I feel like running off the stage, but I'm watching him do the tricks. And then he goes for his big finale, which is the dove pan.
Oh, no!
Which is in your show.
Right, that was my big finale. So, I mean, my big finale is I bring a bar mitzvah boy up, and we produce a live rabbit.
Sure, and in a dove pan.
He's doing my trick. So I said, this has got to be the worst nightmare. How do I follow this?
You know, that's really funny, but that's really funny because a lot of people, their worst nightmare includes, like, all their teeth falling out, losing their genitals, not being able to find their way on stage, or being on Mars with no air. But your worst nightmare is a roller skating monkey doing your punchline.
which shows what us magicians go through in life.
The Monkeys of Magic, which is Planet of the Apes 17, I believe.
Right, exactly. So basically, the monkey ends his show. He collects my check and his. And
what? He took your money, too?
Well, why not? He did my act.
Wow, you're very generous.
Yeah, and so I just basically went to the Vietnamese tables, as we call them, and drank myself into oblivion.
The what table?
You know, at the end of a bar mitzvah, you have the Viennese table with all the desserts.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But the Vietnamese.
I see.
Right. We'll play on words there.
And you drank yourself into oblivion. And,
right.
And the monkey drank you under the table. Is that right?
Exactly.
Now, did the booker explain to you why they booked two magicians, one of them human, one of them simian?
No, actually, the monkey was a surprise from one of the guests at the party.
Oh, I see. So one of the guests hired his own entertainment.
Exactly.
Which is a good idea when you go into a bar mitzvah to bring your own entertainment.
Exactly. I guess if the guest had known that a magician was already hired,
they would have gotten two monkeys.
Right. Would have chosen a different act, possibly a belly dancer or something.
Now, did you volunteer to give up your pay, or did they just kind of force that from you?
No, that was just me trying to be funny. I actually did get paid, and I did follow the monkey with my magic show.
Oh, you were just lying to us because you thought it was funnier than the real story.
A little.
Sure. We want to hear the real story. So after the monkey did the dove pair.
Oh, there was no monkey. The real story is there was
no monkey. The real story is he did a show at a bar mitzvah and sucked.
Yeah.
That's the whole story.
No.
No roller skating, no monkey, no dove pad. Just Magic Al walks out naked as the day he was born except for a top hat. They boo him off the stage. He gets spaced over the Vietnamese table.
No, it's true. I swear to you about the monkey.
Okay. Yeah. But now the monkey is finished with your finish.
And basically what I did is I quickly edited my show and continued to perform on stage, of course, constantly making statements about, hey, but the monkey was a pretty good magician, huh?
Uh-huh.
He did my trick, so I'm going to do one of his tricks. I did the banana trick because, you know, what the hell.
Oh, sure, of course. Ties all together. And then you just went to the Vietnamese table and got. I didn't know that. Did you ever do bar mitzvahs?
Done a couple of bar mitzvahs.
So did you? You didn't know about the Viennese table?
No, I did not. I never even heard that.
That upscale.
Oh.
How big a band did they have?
They had like a 6-piece band.
Jesus.
They don't really do a lot of bands these days at bar mitzvahs. It's more DJs.
Sure.
DJs. But back in the day, they used to have a lot of live bands at bar mitzvahs.
Uh-huh.
And
monkeys. Back when you had monkeys at parties. Now, when you said back in the day when you could have monkeys at a party, are monkeys at parties now outlawed?
You know, I've heard that they are, and that even it's very difficult to own. Maybe a squirrel monkey you can own, but I've heard like a chimpanzee is illegal to own by private ownership these days.
Really?
Because, you know, seriously, this guy owned this chimp and booked him out at parties all the time.
Uh-huh.
And
if he can do the dove pan.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
And roller skate. He could roller skate.
Yeah, like, we keep forgetting the roller skating part, yeah. So this is a hell of a party. Live band, 6-piece band, monkey on roller skates, and then, you know, a drunken magician over in the corner.
It's
like what every party should have.
13-year-old boy dreams of having.
I guess so. Well, okay, thanks a lot, Magic Al. A little piece of advice from me. Put some goddamn pants on next time you work a show, okay?
Thanks for the DVD, Al. Magic Al.
Well, I hope you watch it.
Okay, this is Magic Mac and Magic Pen hanging up on Magic Al. That's what that felt like right there. We're doing a little break on this Monkey Tuesday, and we'll be back with all your monkey stories.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh, 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 ooh. That's all you gotta do. This is the Simon and Garfunkel of monkeys, Magic Pendulette, and Magic Mac King, and we're here.
Howdy.
Mac does the best Best comedy magic show in Vegas, I think, over at Harrah's every afternoon. It's an afternoon show, too, so you don't have to waste any of your time by seeing the show.
That's right.
You still have your evenings to go see
the Penn and Teller show.
Or the Naked Breast shows. You know, you see you in the afternoon, us at night, then you're done. Rest of the time, you can go out for lap dances. That's the way Vegas should be run, as far as I can see. But an afternoon show is great, because people ask me, what should we do in Vegas? I always say Matt King, and they go, well, you know, we have plans. I go, in the afternoon, and they go, oh, yeah, it's a good thing. It's
or they say, how good could it be? It's in the afternoon.
Well, you know, there's also that. That is tied in. And that's one of the reasons, you know, your show would be really good as an evening show. But as an afternoon show, it's like the voice of God. Because, you know, every afternoon show in Vegas really sucks. I mean, shows in the evening suck, but really suck. I mean, it's just pure suckalicious in the afternoon here. And you have a show that's really good. So it's a wonderful way. You don't have to waste any time. And it's late enough. It's like 1 and 3. Right?
Yeah.
So you can still sleep. You know, you can go to the 3 o'clock show. It's all very good. And it's a cheap, reasonably priced show.
No, cheap is good.
Cheap is good.
Yeah. Actually, when I got the RJ Award for Best Bargain Show, I thanked them for not calling it the Best Cheap Show.
Yeah. Bargain Show. Yeah. Bargain seems worse to me than cheap, because cheap has a certain kind of pleasant colloquial quality, whereas bargain is just, it's the worst kind of euphemism, one that you see through instantly. let's take a phone call, because it is, after all, Monkey Tuesday. Ooh, we've been talking too much about magic in my mind. Ooh, I'm always talking too much about magic. We have one woman calling, so let's talk to Angela. How you doing, Angela?
Hey, Penn, how are you?
Never better, boss. Never better. How are you?
Hey, love the show. Love everything. So nice to talk to you.
Thanks so much.
Love everything?
I love everything. I'm having a great day. I'm off the mic already.
That's okay. We have people listen to our show that love everything.
I like
it. Is something wrong with that, you cynical bastard?
Nope.
I'll go right across there and smack you upside your cynical face.
It's one of my favorite Lyle Lovett albums. I love everybody.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. Lyle Lovett. And he, when you have hair like that, you can love everybody. okay, Angela, what's your monkey story?
Okay, this is my monkey story. About 10 years ago, I went to the Long Island Game Farm. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that on the island.
This is a new one for us. We've had great adventure in Catskill Game Farm, but never the Long Island Game Farm. Good. We're learning something else.
You get to shoot stuff there?
No.
No.
It's like a petting zoo, right?
Yeah, it's like a petting zoo, but they also try to make
it was a different kind of petting than you thought it was going to be, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's a different kind of petting zoo where, you know, there's some things that are interactive, other things you get to just look at just like a zoo. So it's like both petting zoo and zoo. But anyway.
Okay.
We go to the petting zoo. Now, you have to understand, in order for the story to be truly, truly funny, you have to understand my family. It was my sister and I and my father and my mother.
Okay.
My mother is this woman who goes to the beauty parlor every Saturday to get her hair, you know, beautifully coiffed, and, you know, she has it dyed red, and she's one of those women who has big hair.
She has dyed red, big hair,
yes,
Long
curly,
Island,
red hair.
Petting
yes.
Zoo game farm hair.
That is exactly right.
Okay,
exactly
good.
Right. And we always tease her, you know, about her hair.
Sure.
Because we think it's funny. So, you know, we go to the Long Island Game Farm. And
how old are you here?
Oh, God, this is about 10 years ago. I was probably like 18.
Okay, good. So
okay.
It's an age when you're very aware of your mother's hairstyle.
Yes, yeah. Extremely aware. So we go to the game farm and we go to the gorilla cage. And the gorilla looks at my mother. Now, he's a huge, huge gorilla. He looks at her, gives her a stare of death.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, oh, boy, I don't think this guy likes you. He goes, and we're all hysterical laughing. And she's like, oh, my God, because that's how she talks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, could you believe it? He's going to hurt me. Ah, you know, but he's in the cage. I'm like, Mom, stop. So the gorilla picks up his food, and he starts throwing it at her. And she's screaming, and we're all laughing, you know, we're running away, but we're laughing. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that to you. So we're all like, wow, you know, this girl is a little bit creepy. So then we go on the little train ride that takes you around the park.
Uh-huh.
We go past the gorilla cage, and I swear to God, he hopped a loogie the size of I don't know what when we went by him and spit right in my mother's hair. Which I swear to God, all the way down her face, And her hair, you know, with all the hairspray and stuff, is dripping. My father has never laughed so hard.
So the hero of this story is your dad.
Yes, yes. And just the fact of her red coiffed hair, just with gorilla spit all over her face. It was just classic. It was great. It was one of, like, the defining moments in my, you know, early adult life. And it's sad, actually, that a couple of months later, a year later or something, they had to kill the gorilla because he attacked a zookeeper.
Who had big red hair?
What?
Maybe the zookeeper had big red hair. But they
Now,
how did your mom take it? Was your mom pleasant about it?
She was laughing, but she was so disgusted. She's like, "What am I going to do about my hair?" You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been spit on by humans twice in my life. That may be a small number for you. When you think about me, you think I get spit on more. But I've been spit on seriously by criminals twice in my life.
Oh wow!
And the one thing I learned about people that spit on you. It's very rarely the people you'd want to spit on you that spit on you. So I know that I mean, there are certain people like you that you could see, oh, that'd be okay if, you know, if she spit on me, that'd be fine. It's not those people. So it usually is someone very akin to a gorilla that chooses that form of expression to spit on other people. Well, that's a great story, Angela, but I don't like it nearly as much as your dad being hysterical. Your dad's still laughing, isn't he?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. And this is someone who loves everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
Angela.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. That's a good family. That's a good family outing. I don't think you can do better at a family outing than that.
No, though. Although she was 18, that could be very, leave a big impression on her. She may have some sort of spit fetish.
You think so?
Yeah. That would happen to me, I think, if you'd seen your mom
spit on by a gorilla.
Yeah.
What happened when you were 18 that you fetishized? I can't say that word. What happened?
Fetishized?
Yeah.
It involves paint.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a fetish about paint?
No, I don't have. I couldn't think of any funny fetish right now.
You're like Whoopi Goldberg going, you don't want to know what I'm thinking because you can't think of anything.
Right.
Okay. You don't want to know what I'm thinking. And, you know, the stupidest person in the audience is going, she's not thinking anything. She's got nothing. Paint, huh? Okay, I'll take a call from Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Do you love everything?
Do I love everything?
Yeah.
I love a lot of things.
Okay, good.
Is that good?
No. That's beautiful. How you doing there, Lisa?
Well, I have to tell you, before I go on, I was telling the gentleman on the phone that...
Yeah, that's Happy Jack you were talking
Happy
to.
Jack, and he was happy.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, good. I was telling him that I was dying for a reason to call because I'm not a person that calls radio stations or TV stations.
Uh-huh.
Like,
that's so clear.
I'm sorry?
It's very clear that you don't call radio stations.
Why? How could you tell? Do I sound normal? Is that why?
No, I think it's because you're on the radio, Lisa.
Well, what did I say? Oh, God, I said calls radio. That was smart.
Okay, go ahead, though.
Okay, well, anyway, so I love your show.
Thank you so much.
And I love you.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
You're very welcome. In fact, if you worshipped, like, cows, I would be building a bovine altar at this very moment. That's how much I love you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're smart, you're intelligent, you're funny, which most people are not funny, you're hysterical.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I want to tell you one thing right now.
Yes.
When the show is over, all four of us will be discussing the bovine altar, because I don't think any of us understood what you were saying. We'll be replaying it over and over again. We'll be playing along with Dark Side of the Moon and The Wizard of Oz.
Will you laugh, I hope?
We laughed. Yeah, we laughed. We'll have a good time. But I don't understand the bovine altar thing. As a matter of fact, Patrick is gobsmacked. He's just his mouth. But go on. You will build a bovine altar.
No, I said, I agree with you so much and love your views and think you're so wonderful that
worshipped cows, you'd build a bovine altar.
Yes.
Yes, I understand now.
Yay.
I'm so glad we talked this out because I didn't want to work it out. That's very kind of you to say. Okay, Lisa, so what's up with the monkeys?
Well, I have to tell you, I've been waiting for a reason to call on Monkey Tuesday, and I was so excited.
Okay,
because now I have a reason.
Lay it on us.
Okay. Well, the other night I was watching TV, and I was watching, I guess, the Discovery Channel or something.
Sure.
And let me tell you something. I can't remember his name, but the most psychotic-looking creature was on TV, and apparently it was this famous monkey who looked kind of human. It was on last week. It was on, I think, the Discovery Channel. This thing walked on hind legs. It looked, the face, it scared me so much, I could hardly watch the show. I was scared. In fact, if the doorbell rang and it was this monkey and Jeffrey Dahmer, who's already dead, I would have to decide who I would invite in first. Because it was so scary looking. It was... Do you know what I'm talking about? This monkey, what I like, I don't know if you want to call him a monk man or a Hukey, or he was like human monkey.
Hukey? But what was the Discovery show called?
See, that's why I feel so bad, because I didn't even get to, I didn't get to watch the whole thing because I had to go to my psychiatrist. So I was like, oh, God, I didn't even get the name of the show. And I said, you know, I bet that Penn will know what I'm talking about. But you don't, and now I feel terrible, and, oh, God.
Oh, no, somebody must know.
Somebody must know.
You're the only person in America who watched that show.
Yeah, you can't be.
You know, there might be.
Someone. Happy Jack, get on the phones. Answer fast. We want to find out about the Hukey or the
Well, that's my name.
Munkin. You said Munkin or...
No, I call... that was my name.
I know that's
him.
Your name. I mean, your name is Lisa, but the name that you coined was Humkey, which I like Humkey a lot.
Well, thank you.
And this is, how big was it?
He was pretty big, and the thing is, he walked like a human. He walked erect.
Uh huh.
And
with just a top hat on.
And his face looked. It didn't look like a monkey. I mean, I've seen some people that look worse than he did.
Now, all I know is that Lewis Black has a show on Discovery. It wasn't Lewis Black, was it?
Might have been Animal Planet.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was Animal Planet. I think it was like the Discovery Channel or one of those things. And
well, Animal Planet is one of those things.
Oh.
Yeah, Animal
Planet. No, I watch Animal Planet all the time because I'm an animal lover.
Humanzee? Is that what
something like that.
Humanzee?
That sounds right.
Is someone on the phone? Is someone on the phone that knows it? We're running out of time. Quickly. Can we put him on the line? What is it? What line is it? Can we put him on together? Hello.
Oh, hi.
Are you there?
Yeah.
What did you see? What was on TV? You got 10 seconds.
Humanzee.
Yes, was it on Discovery?
Yeah, it was on Discovery and Science Channel and everything.
Is it a species or is it an anomaly?
They thought it was a fake, but it was just one. It was a chimp that looked like a human. I don't know.
Oh, it was so scary.
Did you think it was scary?
The most famous one was named Oliver.
The most famous one was named Oliver, and on that, we had a whopping good time. Thank you so much. You're going away, Lisa. Build the shrine to the bovines. We're out of here.